from St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. As we've mentioned, Missourians will be deciding on a lot of high-stakes ballot initiatives on August 4th. Some of them, like Amendment 4, are getting a lot of attention and have both sides of the debate spending money. And then there's Amendment 1. This measure reauthorizes a 1/10 of 1% sales tax that helps pay for soil and water conservation projects and Missouri state parks. It's not controversial at all. In 2016, it got 79% of the vote and faced no serious opposition. Still, backers of Amendment 1 aren't taking anything for granted, especially since not passing it could have some serious consequences for state parks. Joining us now to talk about Amendment 1 is Kendra Varnes Wallace, the Executive Director of the Missouri Parks Association. Kendra, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you for having me.
If Missourians end up voting for Amendment 1 on August 4th, what exactly are they voting for?
So Amendment 1 is the renewal of the Parks Soil and Water Sales Tax. It's been in existence since 1984 when it was first passed. And it is a sales tax that's 1/10 of 1%. Half goes to state parks, half goes to soil and water conservation. And it's an important tax for our state because it makes up 75% of the budget for Missouri State Parks and Historic Sites.
Has anyone ever explained why this measure needs to be voted on every 10 years and is not just a permanent tax?
When it was, you know, brought forth in the 80s, that's after the MDC tax, you know, it had already been passed and it doesn't have a sunset. This one does have a sunset on it to where it has to be renewed every 10 years. And the way we look at it is it's a way for state parks to stay accountable. You know, every 10 years, the public has a chance to vote again and make sure that we're doing a good job. And I think that's one of the reasons it keeps getting passed is because, in my opinion, we have one of the best state park systems in the country. And part of it, you know, dedicated funding, very helpful. And everyone has a say in it.
Yes. And by the way, the MDC is the Missouri, I believe, the Conservation Commission tax, basically. Is that what you're referring to?
So, yes. So that's one of the things that gets confusing to voters, citizens. In Missouri, and this is very unique, you know, we have Missouri Department of Conservation, and they have their own dedicated tax. And then Missouri State Parks, which is part of Missouri Department of Natural Resources, they have this sales tax. So it's two separate tax that pays for, you know, natural resources conservation in the state.
This tax raises about $140 million every year. What does this money get used for? You mentioned state parks and water and soil conservation projects, but if you could give some examples of how this money is put to use, I would be interested in the answer to that question.
So it covers everything, you know, trail maintenance, like Kitty Trail State Park, funding to maintain that trail comes from the sales tax. It pays for campgrounds, like at Montauk State Park. It pays for wastewater systems at the state parks, pays for sewer systems, but it just pays for all encompasses a state park, from the visitor center to nature programming to paying for the things that people don't think about, like the shower houses at campgrounds. So it pays for lots of things that I don't think we always think about. We think about the, you know, scenic overlooks, the trails to hike, the fun places to go kayaking, but there's lots of layers when it comes to a state park to run it.
If there wasn't a dedicated sales tax for state parks, do you think that Missouri would have to charge people to either enter or park at the parks? And explain that a little bit more, because that's very foreign to Missourians, but as I'll explain in a minute, it's not foreign in other states.
Well, like you said, it generates almost $70 million for the system. And then the other funding comes from like camping fees, some federal grants. They don't receive general revenue. So if you didn't have that sales tax, you need to come up with $70 million. And we know how it is with a budget going through general revenue. You wouldn't know year what it is. And you would have to pay to get in to try to make up for some of that funding that's not there. Because as you said, for example, other states around us, you can just go. Somebody sent to me the other day, Nebraska State Parks, they went to hike and it was $14 just for a single day pass for a non-resident.
I was about to mention that I went to a wedding a few years ago in Oregon, and you had to pay to park at Ecolia State Park. It currently costs $12 just to park there. And if you've ever been to a Missouri state park, like, you wouldn't think that parking is somehow a luxury because you can just basically park at any designated place and not pay for it.
Yeah, and even some states you have to pay to use the shower. So when you think about it, you have to pay for everything. Where in Missouri, you pay the sales tax throughout the year, averages about to be $20, and then $10 for state parks, $10 for soil and water conservation.
There is no organized opposition to Amendment 1. I've been a Missouri political reporter for almost 20 years, so this, I think, is the third time I've seen this on the ballot. There has never been organized opposition to any of these reauthorization votes, but I've heard people express concern that it may not sail through this time because there are other amendments that are on the August ballot that are more controversial. First of all, is that a real concern, or is that just like people worrying over nothing?
It could go either way. I think I'm more worried, August usually tends to have lower voter turnout. So that's a concern. And then there are other amendments, four and five, they're on the ballot. And you see a lot of press about that. And then Amendment One is also on the ballot. And maybe it's getting lost in the shuffle, but hopefully, like our group and other groups who are working on this. Grassroots trying to get the information out there can get it out to people to let them know, like, it's here for renewal. And that's a, I think, very important that people need to realize too. It's not a new tax, it's a renewal, and it's been in existence for 42 years.
In addition to like what your group is doing to help this pass, can you talk more about the coalition that is trying to get this to pass? Because you're not doing this by yourself or in isolation. There are a lot of groups that want to pass Amendment 1.
Our group, we're just one of many that are working together to get it passed. And like you mentioned earlier, Conservation Federation of Missouri, Farm Bureau, there are two co-chairs for the committee to get it passed. Then also you have groups like Nature Conservancy, Sierra Club, Soybean Growers Association. So it's a very di diverse group of organizations working to get it passed.
So I have to admit being a little biased here because the state park system in Missouri is like one of my favorite things about the state. So I certainly see the value in having a robust and well-funded state park system. But if somebody is like looking at this, even though they know it's a renewal, and they may be like, why is it important for the state to have a well-funded and well-constructed park system. What would be your message to them?
It does help some of our smaller communities because a lot of state parks are in rural areas. It gets people to different parts of the state they may not, normally go to. And then while they're there, they'll spend money, at a state park, but probably the town next to it, getting ready for a camping trip, going out to eat, going to buy stuff they forgot. And I think that's one thing that I find beneficial to the state is that economic impact it does have. But then also, it's just a very nice system to have where people can have an opportunity. Maybe they don't have land that they can go hike on or go fish, but they have this opportunity. They can just go to a state park. They can drive in. They can go for a walk. They can go for a hike. They can picnic. And basically, it is free to get in. And you're not paying that $15, $12 to park. And it helps preserve, natural resources that may, be going past, like, natural prairies. You know, they work on that. They work on creating habitat for certain insects, flowers, you know. I just think it's a very nice opportunity for our state to showcase what we have, but then also having a place where your citizens can go and recreate and use these resources.
Kendra Varnes Wallace is the Executive Director of the Missouri Parks Association. Kendra, thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Be sure to listen to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air on July 24th, where we'll present a joint appearance with the two major contenders for Missouri's 1st Congressional District seat, Congressman Wesley Bell and former Congresswoman Cori Bush. The two Democrats will answer questions at the same time about their stances on domestic and foreign policy issues and their priorities for the St. Louis and St. Louis County-based district. If you have a question you want asked, send us an email to talk@stlpr.org. You can listen to this joint appearance with Wesley Bell and Cori Bush at noon and 7 p.m. on Friday, July 24th on St. Louis Public Radio.
This episode was produced and recorded by Jason Rosenbaum. Audio editing by Danny Wisentowski.
Podcast design by Aaron Dorr. Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.